And do we have State Treasurer Curtis Loftus on the air with us yet?
Hey, Ann, how are you? It's Curtis.
Curtis, yes, okay. I thought they told me they were getting you. So how goes the fight, Curtis?
Everything is going well. We have a staff meeting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's when I get all the bad news. And unfortunately, I'd picked today to go off coffee. So when as I walked through the office just now, one meeting to the next, I said, y'all brew me some coffee. It's not good to get your bad news before you've had your morning coffee.
So what kind of bad news did you get?
Oh, it's just everyday stuff. Stuff that every business has, you know. Computers are broken.
Except you're the state treasurer here, Curtis. Now,
nothing we can't handle. Nothing we can't handle. Sometimes things take a little longer in government than you want, and I love to try to find out why that does and make sure it doesn't. So it's all right, you know. It's just the stuff that every single person that's listening to your radio show has to worry about. If you're going to work or if you're at home with your kids or whatever, we all have problems since how we deal with them, and I realize that I will deal with them better if I have coffee.
Well, I couldn't start my day without a latte, that's for sure.
I was down in Greenwood the other day at 96 for the Republican County Convention, and then I was over in Abbeville. Again, it's always a pleasure to be there. A beautiful, beautiful part of the country. I love it down there. And
good hunting,
people.
Too, right?
Yeah, but you know, I hadn't been able to go. Evidently, my personality is suffering because I haven't gotten nearly as many invitations this year as I did last year.
Well, Curtis,
I'm going to have to be a better guest. I need to go to the internet and get more jokes.
Well, Curtis, maybe since we're talking about it on the air this morning, maybe you'll get some invites out of this.
That's it. Well, I think season's about over. I'm not even sure when it is.
Well, dove season's coming up here. I mean, you know, so.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, it is it's time to think about your taxes. I know that's not a happy thing. Unfortunately, I don't collect the taxes as a state treasurer, but what I do is I get the pleasure of sending out all those refund checks.
Absolutely.
And so it is great. I'll have people stop me and say, hey, you just sent me a check for $800 for my return or $2,000 or whatever
that,
it is.
That brings
and
up
I said, well,
I was going to say, now, what is the time frame? And you know, one of the questions that I have is, are as many people doing it online as they were doing it? And what is the time turnaround if you are lucky enough to be getting a refund?
Well, I don't know. I know that fewer people are doing it. The Department of Revenue manages all that, and what we do is we process the money for them and rewrite the checks.
Sure.
So I haven't been too involved with all that. After April 15th, I'll start getting some up-to-date information.
Sure.
But I haven't worried too much about it. I've been thinking a lot about the College 529 Savings Program.
Sure.
I've been thinking about a lot of just about money in general. I've been thinking about how people work hard to pay their taxes and how we need to make sure that they feel more comfortable about what we do, you know, meaningful transparency. So there's a lot going on in state government, just like there's a lot going on in people's lives. How's the business climate down there? You're a businesswoman.
Well, yeah, people are still suffering. I think that's the biggest thing we can say. People are still suffering here. A lot of people, you know, we buy gold and jewelry and that type of thing, still buying a lot of that, Curtis, but jewelry sales are a little slack.
I go, because of my job as state treasurer, I go to Washington and I go to New York. You would never know that there's a recession. Just never. I mean, in D.C., you can't get a hotel. All the best restaurants are busy. And I thought I was going in them, but you all walk by. It's just an amazing thing. These big centers of money and government, they're just as busy and as prosperous as you can imagine. When you're in D.C., you can't look in any direction and not see buildings. Now, you come to Greenwood, not much building going on.
Well, no.
West Columbia is where I live. I live in a working-class town. So we've got this big disconnect, and folks are hurting. And what I really worry about is it's the time element. You know, I think we all realize you can have a bad year. But when you start having three or four or five bad years in a row, when you're not used to them or when you were not making a lot of money anyway, you just run out of those reserves. You run out of the energy you need. It's just a difficult time, and we've got to really, really think about that and pay attention to what our neighbor is doing and how we can help them. It's these hard economic times, especially in a poor state like South Carolina, we just have to be really careful.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, the Governor Haley was in town yesterday talking about a couple of new economic possibilities coming to Greenwood, And then, of course, she was out at Palmetto Christian talking to the students out there. So that was pretty interesting. I will give Governor Haley big kudos. I mean, she signed an autograph for every one of the children out there at Palmetto Christian yesterday afternoon.
That's fantastic. She's a mother, and she knows the trouble she would have been in if those kids went home without it. She's got two kids she has to deal with every single day.
Sure.
And, I don't have children, so I can't imagine working the hours we work, you know, mm-hmm. and then going home and have a couple kids. How she does it, I don't know. How women do that, men will never understand it. It's just one of those great mysteries of life.
Absolutely.
But she's done a great job. Her kids are getting, you know, it's like everybody else's kids. You don't see them every day, and then they pop up, and you say, wow, what happened to you? You've grown a foot, you know.
Well, that's
hers
true.
Are getting older. And, fortunately, you and I aren't getting any older.
Well, that's true. But listen, Curtis, you know, big news right before the break, I think it was end of March, you said you were not going to write the $50 million check unless you got that letter in writing, not an email. What is happening on that?
Well, we're about the same spot. I'm not sure of kind of waiting on them to give me
So they haven't gotten you the letter yet.
Yeah, and, you know, to people outside, it's so important. I know that you can, when people start talking about how government works, it's easier to say, well, I'd rather listen to sports or something. But I'll tell you, this is, we worry so much about these big social issues, and they're important, don't get me wrong. But really what affects your life is how government works. And this is a perfect example. You know, when Ann Eller buys a car, she gets a title of that car. It's a legal document.
Sure.
And then she buys a house. She gets a legal document. If she just rents a house, she gets a legal document. And what I said to them is, if we're going to send $50 million of the retirees' money, of taxpayers' money, off someplace, out of the custody of my bank,
sure.
the state's bank, I want a document. And I want that document to be a legal document. I want it to be signed by a lawyer and says, this is where it's going, and this is where it's going to be warehoused, and this is how it's going to be protected. Because you can send money off to an investment, and it can go bad.
Sure.
Look at Bernie Madoff. People lost billions of dollars. There are people in this state. In fact, I know a person in Charleston who lost every penny they had to sell their big house in downtown Charleston, lost every penny they had because somebody stole the money. MF Global, Senator Corzine's business, same type of thing. So what they did was that, you know, we have emails back and forth, just like you and I or some husband and wife are writing emails and back and forth, and they want me to use that as the official document. Well, a lawyer could drive a truck through that as far as protecting your money. And I say, no, I'm not. I want an official document. I want it signed. I want somebody who's responsible because if something goes wrong with those arrangements to protect your money, I want to go and be able to point to somebody and say, this person didn't do their job. And that's important. When I have to sign my name on something, I make sure it's right. I make sure it's done correctly. And I don't think anybody should be afraid to sign their own work. In fact, I don't work with people who won't sign their own work.
Well, I don't
know. What I've asked people all across state government, and the only people give me a hard time is the Retirement System Investment Commission. If you are an important person in state government and you're doing important work, you need to sign that work. Don't send me anything that's not signed, because you'd be surprised how many times I get things that aren't signed. And I send it right back. I said, sign it and date it, and then I'll read it.
Well, I just don't understand. You know, one of the other issues is how do you know that the person that sent the email is even the person whose name is on it? Because so many times you have employees do your emails for you and this type of thing.
Well, they wouldn't have taken a mortgage on a loan or a house or a loan at a bank or a car title. They wouldn't do it by email unless it was, you know, you can transmit it by email. But it would have the official document. And this, you know, this goes back to, government should treat your money like it's our personal money. You know, if I want to go to Vegas, I can go to Vegas and spend all my money and live on the street. That's my money. But when I have your money, I've got to be really careful with it. I've got a higher burden, and I believe that. That's just who I am. That's the way I was taught. You know, I was raised in a blue collar, upper middle class type of home, traditional South Carolina Baptist type of place. And you don't play with other people's money. You just have to be careful. And this is a very simple request. What this tells me about the commission is what this really brings up is, why won't they give me that? And that's what troubles me.
I agree.
Why won't they? You know, I sat down, and you know, we can use machines to sign bonds. I sign every one of them. I want my name on it. I want to protect the money. And so, I mean, that means I've got a higher burden. When I became treasurer, I started looking around, and the statute's pretty clear. If it has to do with money in state government, treasurer is at the you know, is supposed to house it. Well, over the years, money got away from the treasurer. Well, it may be some good reasons why, but I started clawing it back. And at first, people thought, well, this, why are you doing this, Curtis? You're just some kind of power thing. You're just trying to know. I want to have it so I can sign my name, and that the next treasurer has to sign his name, and the next treasurer has to sign his name. If something goes wrong with money, it ought to have the treasurer's name on it, and that way you can go to him. Right now in government, when something goes wrong, we all point to somebody else, and nobody ever gets in trouble, and that's got to stop.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I think it was last week I had Senator Floyd Nicholson on, and I asked him about that, and he said he could see no reason why you shouldn't have a signed document.
You know, Floyd Nicholson gets these financial issues. When I need help in the Senate, I go to him. And because he understands, he's a former teacher, principal,
right,
and all that stuff. He says he understands that math adds up, right? All these investments are simple. You add them and subtract them or whatever you have to do to them, and that's what they are. And we should be able to sign our names. So I appreciate Senator Nicholson saying that. And that's, look, here's the silly part. Every single person riding around listening to you, they get this. They say, well, of course you should get a legal document. Of course a lawyer should sign it. It's only in government where people say, maybe we don't have to do that. Maybe we can rely on some arcane statute or rule or regulation or precedent. No, it's just about honor and integrity. If you don't believe in something, then don't sign it. If you do believe in it, sign it. Just that simple.
Absolutely. And so are you on the outs right now with the investment commission?
Well, I believe I am. But, you know,
have they had any meetings without you, Curtis?
Well, you know what? They actually had a meeting without me. After we had a meeting the other day, and when it ended, I left. I went away. I went to the elevator. And for some reason, it was like I had a little man on my shoulder. So you got to go back in there. I go back in there, and there's nobody in there. I go around to the back where the chief investment officers are, office is, and guess what? They're having a meeting. There are four commissioners in there, about 10 staffers, and they're talking about the same things we were talking about during the meeting. So it's an illegal meeting. Oh, what do you say? What do you do? You keep going down the road, and as long as I keep saying you're going to treat the people's money like it's your money and you're going to treat your money well and you're going to sign for it and you're going to make sure we're transparent and we're accountable, as long as I keep saying that, I don't see how I go wrong. And I just have to keep fighting it every day. It's just one of those battles. You know, I'm trying to give up coffee. I'm also trying to go on a diet. So, you know, that's every day you got to battle that problem, right? And you hope some days is better than others. And I've not had a good time here recently with the Investment Commission just because they refuse. They refuse accountability and transparency. They refuse to sign their name with a dotted line. They refuse to talk about issues that I think are very important. And being an elected official, I know what people are thinking. I went to three different counties last night after work, three counties. We left at about 4 o'clock and got home about 10:30, 11 o'clock. And so I got to talk to all those people. The other folks on the commission, they are elected officials. They go home, they talk to their wife or people at their country club or whatever. And I mean, they're not bad people. Don't get me wrong. It's a different thing. When I show up someplace, people will come to me and say, "You keep our money safe." They come over to me and they whisper in my ear, "We're with you," you know, things like that. Because the people get it. It's not rocket science.
So at this point, you still have the $50 million. They haven't produced a letter. What's the next step? Is there going to be, there was some talk of it ending up in court. Do you think that's where you're going?
Yeah, I suspect so. They've got to do something. I mean, you know, they could easily, it would take about an hour to produce the document. And
right.
Then we'd file it. And that would be it. I'd fund the thing. It'd be just that simple, right?
Right.
But there's a reason why they won't sign that document, and I know the reasons why.
What is that reason?
Well, we've had irregularities in our contracting practice, and so I'm trying to put a stop to that. And without going into deep, convoluted, complex legal arguments on the radio, which nobody would get, everybody would turn off the radio, this is how you stop it. This document, yes. You have a lawyer say, "I've certified this contract is the deal we've gotten, and the money's going to be safe." and at where it's being custody, and I sign my name. That's how you stop those problems. You know, we can argue about the other things for the rest of our days and never come to an end to it. But making someone sign on the bottom line is how you do that.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't understand it. So you think you're going to end up in court out of this because they won't just produce the argument or produce the document?
Yeah, probably. And I feel good about my legal position. And we'll see. You know, these things are unfortunate. There's so many different ways to handle this. We deal with people in state government all over the place. We deal with Lander College down there. We deal with the county of Greenwood and the city. We have rules and regulations we place on these folks all over the place, and nobody moans and groans except the Investment Commission. If anybody ever does, say Lander or Clemson or, you know, DHEC someplace, if they had a problem, we'd call them in. We'd say, hey, you know, come on over here, let's talk about it. Maybe we're doing something wrong. We'd sit around the conference table, we'd get our paper and pencils out, we'd do the schematics, we'd look at what they say, and we'd make it work one way or the other. But the Investment Commission has $27 billion of your money. People who are working every day as teachers and firemen in Greenwood, government employees in Columbia or Spartanburg, or highway patrolmen, every one of those government employees across the state is paying into that fund. And then the taxpayer matches that money as the employer. And so we got to protect that money, and that's just what this is about. And it's not burdensome. I mean, think about it. A $50 million investment and going to court over some lawyer signing a document. So it's silly. It's about bigger issues. And now's as good a time as ever to go to court. I look forward to it. Because if I'm going to be the custodian of the funds of the state, and that's what the law says, we're going to do it well, and we're going to protect that money.
Well, Curtis, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think it is. I think it's a shame that it's come to this, but maybe from this point, after you get that letter, and maybe things will be able to work better.
I hope so. I have lots of flaws. Holding grudges is not one of them. I got lots of other flaws. Believe me, I can name them. Next time I see you, I'll tell you. I'll give you a list of them. I got them alphabetically and chronologically. I keep them just because I'll try to work on them. But holding grudges is not one of them. And you move past these things.
You have
to move past them because it's in the interest of the people of this state.
Absolutely.
They put us on the state house steps, and I had to swear an oath and put my hand on the Bible. And I know who I work for. It's not the six people on that commission. It's the 4.6 million people in the state of South Carolina. That's who I work for, and I'm going to serve them as long as I can.
Absolutely. Hey, real quick, Curtis, you know, the election down there for First District Congressman is coming up. We've got, of course, Elizabeth Colbert Bush, and, of course, we have former Governor Sanford. What do you hear? What are you thinking how this is going to shape up?
I think Sanford will win, and he'll win probably with a larger victory than most people think. Is, you know, the past is the past, and it's behind him. He's done a lot of work to get that behind him, and the people of the First District that have studied this issue a lot closer than I have, they seem to be with him. I saw some polling yesterday, and I made a few phone calls. I think he's going to be just fine. She's a nice lady, and she's a good person and all that. There's no animus here. I've met her a couple times and like her. But I think that Mark Sanford will be the next congressman down there. And, he votes well. He's a good conservative. He'll protect the interests of South Carolina. You know, I put up a Facebook page to post on my state treasurer's Facebook page, and it's about how disability now is being gained by the system and how many instances people have been privatized. The states are paying people to get them off of their unemployment rolls and onto the disability rolls of the federal government. And it's going to cost us tens of billions of dollars. One out of every 13 workers is now disabled in this country. That's an incredible statistic. But this is how government works, and this is the kind of boring details you have to pay attention to. And if anybody gets a chance, go to my Facebook page. I've got a couple pages, so look for the one that says Treasurer Curtis Loftus, and read that post. It'll take you 2 or 3 minutes, it may take you 10 minutes to read it. But when you read that, you come away and say, well, man, Social Security is supposed to be a great program that I can feel proud about. I don't want the state to pay people to take people off the unemployment rolls with some type of injury or illness that can't be proved. You know, so we're taking them off of a temporary thing and putting them on these long-term disability lists. And it's just, it's devastating for the country. It's taking people out of the workforce that ought to be in the workforce. And it's to costing the rest of us have to pay those fees. And, you know, I believe in Social Security. I'm a conservative, but I believe in Social Security. But we've changed it from a retirement scheme to it has all of these other programs in it, and people just can't imagine how much money it costs taxpayers. So we've just got to do a better job, and we have to, you know, I have to educate myself more and more about these things. I don't know it all, so I spend a lot of time trying to read these things, and I know the average person can't do that. But I do post some things on my Facebook page, and take 10 minutes to read that, or even print it and read it, you know, later on. It'll let you see what really goes on in government.
Well, government just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and it doesn't seem that whether it's on the national level or even on the state level in some aspects, that it can be pulled back.
Especially on the federal. I mean, I really fear it. I've never been this way before. I don't go around, and I'm a Republican, and I don't go around talking about Mr. Obama. He's the president, and I want to be respectful, and I just want to do my part to make sure we have a better country, right? I don't vote for him and never would. But I study these issues, and I don't see the end. I don't know how we're going to pay for these things. There are so many issues that we're not talking about. You know, we're talking about gun control. We're talking about gay marriage. And probably neither one of them are going to have a meaningful effect on our lives. What's going to have it is the crushing debt we're going to have. And this Obamacare, which most people thought it wasn't a very good idea anyway, well, the more we study it, the more we look at the numbers, it is catastrophic. I mean, I think I'm afraid it's going to send the country back into another recession. And with the high number of unemployed we have now going into another recession, you know, it's going to affect this country like people can't believe. And I don't know what to do about it. It's just crazy federal system we've got where Barack Obama seems to wave a wand and all these rules and regulations appear. And then we have to pay the bill.
Well, it's almost like a steamroller effect, and of course, you know, it's stuff is still coming out on it. Even when people thought they knew with it, there's so much more that you just keep digging through.
That's right. You know, it's all part of life, and every day somebody's going to knock us down. We know that. I don't care who you are in this world, you get knocked down every day, whether it's stuck behind a train or your husband or wife is mad at you. We all get knocked down. It's all about how you pick yourself up. And this country is having to pick itself up from a lot right now. And so we need to. And I need to be more positive. I need to be hopeful because we are Americans, and we are lucky to live, and we're alive, and we've got all the great things the Lord's given us. We've got to look forward, but we've got to really focus on what's important. And really the most important thing is money. And I know that sounds terrible, but all these other issues, you know, we've been arguing about most of these issues all of my life. And they never get settled. The people just raise money. They get elected on these things, special interests. They get great jobs. They pay on these things. And, you know, we have to worry about what's in our interest. And it starts right there in Greenwood with the city council and the county council and the school boards. That's where a tremendous amount of your taxes come from, right there. And you got to make sure that those are well run. Then you got to look at Columbia. Hey, how do I send a better delegation to Columbia? How do I send a better delegation to Washington, D.C. We don't have to be angry. We just have to be positive that we want better things. And I think most South Carolinians are comfortable with smaller government and let us make our own mistakes. We don't need people. We don't need to go hire people to make mistakes for us.
Well, gosh, Curtis, I think I'll just go cry me a river.
Be positive, Ann. I know you are. Be positive. Greenwood County is a great place.
It is a great place, and we've got
and just be, you know, I'm positive about it. I mean, I'm going to recognize the troubles that we have, but I want to keep going down the road one step before the other. I'm an old Baptist, and that's what they used to always tell us. One step more, which is one more step. So we go out and we fight these battles, and we keep going, and then we enjoy the important things of life.
Absolutely. Well, State Treasurer Curtis Loftus, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air. I really hate that I caught you on the day you haven't had your coffee.
I'm going to go get one right now. I should have had one earlier. I need to go. I shouldn't go cold turkey. I need to go a little bit, you know, at a time.
You need to go with, you know, French roast, then cut it back to medium roast, and then just keep going down the ladder there.
What I need to go is from probably 6 cups to 2 cups, then 2 cups to 1, then 1 to nothing. That's what I need to do.
Why don't you go from 6 to 4?
Yeah, Yeah, well,
and then too,
well, you
when
know, I end up with lots of. Don't you do this? You end up with a cup of coffee, and about half of it you don't get to.
Yeah.
You get on a phone call or do something, so you end up, you know, don't drink all of it anyway.
That's why I walk around with one all day long, and people say to me, "Oh my God, Ann, how much coffee do you drink?" I said, "I think it's my second cup. I don't get to drink it."
Yeah, and of course, the smaller cup is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
Al, I've got to do better about getting in shape. Do you exercise regularly?
I try to.
Awful.
Yeah. I would think that you probably, you know, you got to keep that blood pressure down, Curtis.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always have been able to do that, but this job takes a lot of time, and I get into my office, and I get busy, and I just, and it's, you know, late when I leave, and I just am tired then. There's no excuse. You got to find time. So that's part of this whole thing is cutting back on my coffee, cutting back on sweets and all, you know, all the stuff we know we have to do, but I've got to get out more often. So the weather's nice. I did get out this weekend and worked. I cut wisteria vines for about 6 or 8 hours over the weekend, and my shoulders and arms hurt now. I die. So, but
Curtis, you're a wreck. That's all I can say here this morning.
I have wisteria vines as big as your leg on my property, and if wisteria can make you rich, I'd be a billionaire. The problem is it doesn't.
Well, Curtis, it's always a pleasure to have you on the air. Keep up
nice
the good
talking.
Fight and save the money and make sure you get that letter before you write that check.
I'm going to. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All righty. Bye-bye.